This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. We have an update now on a story of a black man in Asheville beaten by a white police officer after he was stopped for jaywalking. The incident last summer was captured on body cam. The Asheville Citizen-Times got hold of the video and posted it to its website in February. It went viral and thrust the city of Asheville into a national discussion about police and their treatment of African Americans. Joel Burgess is a city reporter with the Asheville Citizen-Times who's been covering the story. We spoke with him earlier, and I asked him to remind us what happened back in August last year when now former police officer Chris Hickman stopped Johnny Germaine Rush for jaywalking.
The thing I've got to tell us, too, that makes the story so strange to many of us is, although this incident happened at the end of August, we didn't learn about it really, or at least the public didn't learn about it until February 28th when we published the video. But to rewind back to the incident you're talking about, there's a man named Johnny Germaine Rush, as you said. He's a resident of a nearby housing complex, and he had gotten off work, he tells us, from a 13-hour shift at the Cracker Barrel, and was walking back to a store to buy some things he had forgotten, and was stopped coming out of the store by a police officer who turns out to have been a trainee at the time, a guy named Ruggiero, who confronted him and told him that he had jaywalked and you know, warned him against it and checked his ID and checked his checked it for outstanding warrants or anything like that and sent him on his way. That first encounter was a little bit confrontational. I think that Rush was annoyed at being stopped. But then he was stopped again, really at the foot of his apartment complex as he was trying to go home. And the officers said that, and again, this was Ruggiero, a trainee, and the officer who was training him is a man named Chris Hickman, who's no longer with the Asheville Police Department, but had been there for 10 years and was actually a decorated veteran. And stopped this man, Rush, who, as you pointed out, was African-American, and told him that he had jaywalked again and that he was either going to get a ticket or go to jail. And Rush protested and said he actually, at that point, hadn't done anything wrong and really was trying to comply with what they had asked him to do. And, you know, people who watch the tape know this, but he was frustrated, visibly frustrated, audibly frustrated. The officers became angry with him. The situation escalated, and the officers moved to arrest him. And Rush began to run, and then stopped, is what he said. This officer Hickman tackled him, and then the encounter turned really violent. At that point, there was Rush was shocked multiple times with a taser. He was beaten. Hickman beat him with his fist, his closed fist, and with the taser, with the stun gun, and choked him, it appears, two times, once with his hands and once in what officers refer to as a chokehold, what we commonly refer to as a chokehold, but which the Asheville Police Department now considers lethal force. So, again, this incident happened back in late August, and really nobody knew about it, and we didn't know about it until we caught wind of it, and through a source, and I started talking to this source and eventually was able to get a body cam video of Officer Chris Hickman that showed us that, yes, in fact, this incident had happened as described.
And you got the body cam video, and it was posted at the Asheville Citizen-Times website so then everybody could see it. But you said, as you said, this was February. But there were things happening in the meantime, albeit some of it out of the public view. So let's talk about what happened right afterward, because Officer Hickman was told to turn in his badge and gun. Tell me when that happened and why.
Well, the police chief, Tammy Hooper, who's been there since 2015, said that she got a complaint the very next day. And she said it was Rush who made a verbal complaint about the incident. And so she began what's called an internal investigation, or it's a non-criminal administrative investigation where basically the chief would be looking at whether she should discipline or fire an officer. So she immediately took him off the street. He wasn't fired at that time. He was essentially doing desk duty. And this investigation stretched on several months, actually. And it midway through, though, so in September, Officers that were doing that investigation approached the district attorney with the video, either some or all of the video. We're still not sure how much the DA saw. He believes he only saw a piece of it. That's his recollection. The district attorney's name is Todd Williams, by the way. And these officers were saying, hey, we want to drop the charges that the officers brought against Mr. Rush, which were, you know, resisting a public officer, trespassing, impeding traffic, a variety of things like that. And the district attorney agreed. So, again, this is September, you know, a month after the incident, a little less. And the administrative investigation continued. And in December, the police chief, Tammy Hooper, and essentially these officers who were doing an investigation came back to the DA and said, we've got more information and we'd like your opinion. We think maybe, you know, this should be a criminal case. So the unusual thing about this, and this gets into some of the weird nuts and bolts of these situations, is it seems like very commonly in this type of scenario, a criminal investigation and an administrative investigation would start at the same time. And it seems like a strange thing to focus on. But the point is, you got to keep those two investigations separate, because a criminal investigation involves things like Miranda rights, where essentially you're told, you know, you're allowed to be quiet, you don't have to say anything that might incriminate yourself, whereas the administrative investigation, somebody can remain quiet, but you'll be telling them, look, if you refuse to tell us things, we'll fire you. And so it's kind of good if these two things happen at the same time on different tracks, and they don't touch each other. So it was very strange that this criminal investigation took this long to happen. And again, it didn't even start in December. That was when this information was submitted to the district attorney. And then come January, the district attorney said he really got around to reviewing all the information over the holidays and whatnot, and said, yes, oh my goodness, let's contact the State Bureau of Investigation. But the FBI declined at that time.
And why was that?
Well, the reason they gave, at first they gave no reason, is what the DA and what the police chief said. And so actually the chief started her own investigation, which is, again, problematic, because you have police officers investigating fellow officers, you know, officers within their own departments. And
at this point, the video is still not public. And remember, the state legislature has kept that from public view. They've said that the police don't have to turn that over. So still, the public doesn't know what's happened yet.
That's exactly right. And even some elected officials and a top city official said he didn't know about it. But yes, so the FBI has, according to the police chief and the district attorney, has declined to tell them why. But we pushed them a little bit, and finally there was a reason given, and what they said was, you know, it took too long. You guys came to us too late to ask for this. And the FBI didn't offer a lot more explanation, a lot of background, but the sense we got is they felt that maybe the waters had been a bit muddied between this administrative investigation and what would be a criminal investigation. Williams, the DA, said he really wanted the FBI to do the investigation, not the Asheville police. And so he pressed again and again. And finally, the explanation came out. And this is, I have to say, this is actually after a few days after the release of the video by us, the FBI said, well, we can't, because we're cooperating with a federal investigation of this incident.
Meanwhile, Officer Chris Hickman had been fired, and that was prior to the video coming out.
That's correct. So January 5th, I guess the chief had felt she'd gathered enough information to fire him. And it's worth saying that it apparently is a lot harder to fire a police officer or any other municipal employee in Asheville, because there is another layer of review. It's called a civil service board. It's really unique to Asheville and North Carolina, from what I can tell. And it's a place where an employee can go and appeal a disciplinary action, such as a firing. And so I think the chief, in later explaining the reason it took so long to get to this point, was that she really felt like she had to build a case, because there were past incidents where officers had been fired and for excessive force, and then they were reinstated by the Civil Service Board. So, yes, on January 5th, the chief has shown us she had a letter with that date saying, you know, I'm going to terminate you. But that very same day, Officer Hickman said, I resign and quit.
All right. And there are new developments since then. Of course, you at the Asheville Citizen Times got a copy of the or got the video, and that went public. That was in February. What's happened since then?
For one thing, we've had the confirmation that a federal investigation is happening. We had actually heard before the video went, before we published the video, that some FBI agents had come and interviewed Johnny Rush. But yes, the FBI actually confirmed there was a federal investigation. A grand jury convened in Asheville, a federal grand jury convened in Asheville April 3rd, so just this week. And we got a hold of the subpoenas that were sent out by the federal attorneys, the federal prosecutors, to look for information to give to this grand jury to see if they actually will indict anyone. And so the FBI and the Justice Department in general, these federal investigations, the reason that they happen in these cases are to look into civil rights violations.
Joel Burgess is a city reporter with the Asheville Citizen Times. Our conversation continues in a moment on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio, continuing to talk with Asheville Citizen Times reporter Joel Burgess. He's been covering the ongoing story of the beating of a black man, Johnny Germain Rush, by former Asheville police officer Chris Hickman, who is white. In our conversation recorded earlier, Joel Burgess said that he has learned that a federal grand jury is investigating the incident, and I asked him about the latest developments in the story.
The very latest wrinkle is that there's another name that popped up in the subpoenas, a man named Anthony Morrow, who... Well, and not much is really known about him, and we're writing about him right now and saying that it appears he was arrested too by officers Hickman and Ruggiero, and Hickman may have not been exactly the arresting officer. We're still digging through some of the files, but he was involved with the arrest, and those charges were in fact dropped. And so again, there's a subpoena asking for information about this arrest. We're not quite sure what yet, but again, if this is in the context of a civil rights case, you can make some assumptions.
What about activism in Asheville? What about in the African-American community and others interested in this case? Is there any kind of groundswell of pressure on City Hall and the police chief over this case?
Well, yes, and in fact, I did skip over some very important things, which is after the video became public, there was absolute outrage. There was outrage among a lot of black residents. There was outrage among white residents. But for black residents, it was particularly poignant. It was one of these incidents that, again, captured on video. It just seemed to reinforce this sense that they were being treated pretty poorly and in some cases violently by the police. This is something actually that the city had been focusing on. There had been a fatal shooting of a black city resident in 2016, a man named Jerry Jai Williams. And that incident was eventually ruled justified by the district attorney, but it really galvanized a movement around trying to get better treatment of black residents by police, and just a sense that there was mistreatment and potential bias. And so the police chief, with the help and cooperation of community activists, created a new use of force policy. And so ironically, this use of force policy came into effect in May, just months before the Johnny Rush incident, when there was, in fact, excessive force, according to the police, according to their own assessment of the incident. So yes, there was this outrage. There was also outrage. There was outrage that it happened. And then there was also outrage that nobody knew about it for months. And that included members of the city council. Members of the city council said they knew nothing about it. The mayor said she knew nothing about it. The city manager said the first he had heard of this incident was when we released it, when we published it publicly. And in the aftermath, there were residents that called for the firing of the police chief and the city manager. And in fact, the city manager, Gary Jackson, was fired. The city council members said they actually wanted to retain the police chief. They characterized her as a change agent in a department that has problems. And one thing, just prior to the release of this video, the police department had released figures showing a 61% decrease in use of force incidents. And of course, here's this one glaring exception.
Joel Burgess is a reporter for the Asheville Citizen-Times. You can find links to his reporting and the body cam video at our website, stateofthings.org.